Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're doing well today. My name is Zachary Fortis Gom. You probably know this by now. I am the creator of The Orphans, and I am here today to tell you about what is essentially the last year of work for myself, James, and a lot of the other people who work on The Orphans, which is Realms of Peril and Glory. We have been working on a brand new show. It is a wonderful actual play podcast that has a swath of wonderful guest players from the Magnus Archives to We Fix Space Junk all the way to Wooden Overcoats and so many other amazing podcasts that I know you know. If you're worried about actual play and mechanics and all that, don't worry. We're quite rules light on the show. And really, it's just an incredible time with some wonderful characters. Our first episode is going to play in just a second. And if you want to find the show, then please head over to lightandtragic.com/listenRPG or just search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm sure there will also be a link in the show notes if you just want to click down there. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate you tuning in. And we hope you come follow us over on Realms of Peril and Glory. Don't worry, there's still going to be plenty of Orphan stuff coming out. We've just completed some scripts for a new series, and we're very excited to kind of bring you new content here, but also make exciting new stuff over on Realms of Peril and Glory, and we'll see you soon. Take care. Oh, by the way, once you finish up with this one, there are two more episodes out now on the Realms of Peril and Glory feed, so if you enjoy this, I think you're going to like those too. Welcome one and welcome all to the very first episode of Realms of Peril and Glory. Welcome, it is so wonderful to have you here. My name is Zachary Fortis Gom and I will be your game master. Joining me is James Barbarossa.
Hi, I'm James and I'll be playing the voices of everybody that isn't the players that you're going to hear now or a random soldier.
And playing with us is Maddie Searle.
Hi, I'm Maddie, and I am playing Isadora Ravenwood, who is a first-level half-elf necromancer.
I'm also here with Elizabeth Campbell.
Hello, I am playing the second-level orc rogue Zongroth Gralshak.
Pip Gladwin.
Hi, I'm Pip Gladwin. I am playing Tor Brennan, the first-level dwarf paladin.
And also Laura Gerling.
Hello, I'm Laura, and I'm going to be playing the level one high elf bard, Meredith Winvere.
Amazing. Thank you very much, guys. So we are going to be playing a game called 13th Age, which is a D20 fantasy TTRPG designed by Rob Heinsu, lead designer on D&D 4th edition, and Jonathan Tweet, designer on D&D 3rd edition. And it's published by Pelgrane Press. If you want to check out the game system yourself, please go to the podcast description for a link to the Pelgrane Press website. We are also going to be playing in a setting of my own design called Vale. Vale is a world of magic, monsters, and fantasy. In the millennium after a great social regression away from magic, the world is beginning to recover and peace has reigned for the longest time in the world's history. We'll be journeying through the city of New Harbor, the social and industrial metropolis of the Imperial Commonwealth. So, is everyone ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ready.
Yes.
And let's get started. You are gliding through burned and blackened streets. The city reeks with the acrid stench of decay. A great haze washes the bright day to a faint gray. This is New Harbor, but not like you've seen it. The once bustling metropolis, home to every species on Vale, lays decimated. You make your way through the wide ways and the narrow alleys. The life that once filled this city has been extinguished. Your home lies bare, devoid of anything and anyone. The hairs on the back of your neck stand on end as a great rumble runs through the city. As you turn, your eyes are drawn upwards. Dark clouds are consuming the sky, and from them a violent flash. Wicked winds hurtle through the city. Doors fly from their hinges and trees are uprooted. Buildings collapse as the city is finally consumed. With a pitched scream, your eyes shoot open. Zongroff, Meredith, Torbrennan, and Isadora, you feel your hearts racing in your chest. The anxiety of your dream breaking to the bright sun of a new day in the city. You each race to the nearest window, checking to see if it had truly been a dream. And with a sigh of relief, you find the city unharmed. Zongroff, you see the familiar streets of the Ivy Lanes, covered in merchants trying to disassemble the mischief of students from the night past. And in the distance, Harbor Park and the hulking figure of Justice Hall, home to the New Harbor Watch. Meredith, you see dense buildings, narrow alleyways, and the familiar gray color of the Ash Lanes. Nothing has changed in the labyrinthian alleys that duck and weave through and into one another. If you crane your neck hard enough, you can just make out the flags of the Elven Dominion, the Imperial Commonwealth, and the Iron Brotherhood atop the grand mass of ships preparing to set sail across Vale. Torbrennan, you see these ships as well, though they are much closer. In Old Harbor, the sea laps at the shore and up against the original village out of which the city bloomed. Now, of course, built up and made into lavish homes for those old families of the city. From your small room, you breathe a small sigh of relief. Isadora, outside your window, you see the sprawling green gardens that cover the campus of Athril. The Academy of the Arcane sits in the center of the city, the jewel of New Harbor. You see people zigzagging across the grounds, making their way into the day's classes. From behind you, you hear the voice of your roommate, Emily Potts.
What's wrong with you? What are you doing?
I had a weird dream. It was probably nothing. It's probably fine. Anyway.
Good. You know, people love it when you tell them about your dreams. You should do that at parties.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a really good tip.
People are super into it. Every time you meet a new person, just tell them some dreams you had. Doesn't matter how boring, it's fascinating.
Oh my goodness. That is such a good tip. I will definitely use that. And actually, I was going to ask you, are you going to be at lunch later?
Yeah, I mean, I might be, but if I'm being honest, I'm kind of busy. I got a lot of to do and, you know, it's a packed day for me, actually.
I understand. Yeah, it's like this school is super like prestigious and you have to be like constantly keeping on top of all your work and all that stuff. So yeah, I understand.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe another time.
You get it. That's good.
Through the letterbox in the door flies a little paper aeroplane, which makes its way over to you and unfurls itself in your outstretched hands, Isadora. It's a note from Professor Irag asking for you to join her in the quad.
Oh, nice. Sorry, I need to run, but I'm sure that I'll bump into you later. Hope you have a good day.
Don't worry if you don't.
Okay, cool. No worries. See you later.
You move through the tight corridors of Athril as students move every which way around you. You notice that everyone is giving you more space than they are the others. It seems as though the students are slightly wary of you, even without consciously knowing it.
Hey, guys. How you doing? It's a nice day, isn't it? Yeah, it's really nice.
Everyone mumbles and looks down away from you. A couple people meet your eye and give you a small smile. But as you go, you shoot down the spiraled staircase and out into the grassy quad that acts as the thoroughfare for students moving between the buildings. At the base of a large tree, examining its roots and mumbling something to Fauna, is an orc. Umber and orange, with slim tusks that only just poke out of the corner of their mouths. This is Professor Urog.
Hi, Professor.
Ah, Isadora. Yeah, I'm glad that you got my note.
Yes, yes. What would you like to talk to me about?
Oh, well, I was just going to invite you to the prayer event for Kinris at the Church of Rose this evening. You know, I'm sure everyone would appreciate it if you were there.
Oh, of course, I'd be happy to. It's just that, even though I obviously, worship Roz, my medallion and everything, everyone can see, but I've never actually been to a proper service before. The whole organized religion thing is kind of a mystery to me, so is there anything I should know?
I wouldn't worry about it. There's nothing organized. It's just in honor of Miss Dorai, who, as you know, was missing recently. I wouldn't worry too much about that. Oh, by the way, I know you appreciate the more interesting parts of herbology. I found these nightcap mushrooms for you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, these are brilliant. Oh, I can't wait to use them in my potions and stuff. That's so cool.
Yeah,
thank you.
I wouldn't consume them unless you particularly need to be unconscious.
Okay, that's a good tip. I'll remember that. Yeah, thank you.
Isadora, for a moment, you are jolted back into that dream. Only for a moment. Light and sound flashes past you, and you get the distinct image of a room, tall and wooden, and a contraption. A clock counts down. 3, 2, 1, bam! Fire engulfs you before you are slammed back into the grassy quad. Nothing seeming to have changed.
Isadora, are you well?
Did you see that? There was an explosion? I'm sorry.
I saw nothing. Isadora, are you okay? You have not been consuming any mushrooms of your own, have you?
No, not in the past week. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I tried a couple, but at the moment, no. I'm sorry. I had a weird dream, and I've been told that it's cool to tell people about your dreams, but I
would be careful, particularly someone with your magic powers. I think you should foster what gift you have, but you should remember that visions of a magical nature may come dangerously close to predicting the future, which, as you know, is very illegal.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I'm sure they are just dreams.
Yes, right. Yeah, it's probably fine. What time would you like me to be at the service?
If you just come this evening, and we will get everyone settled down, and we will begin then.
All right. Thank you.
And briskly walking past you, bumping into you and coming out the other way, is a young high elf. This is Meredith Winver, who then runs out and into the streets of the Ivy Lanes, where you see the magnificent stone buildings of the many universities that inhabit this borough. You see advertisements, billboards, signs, stands, and more asking for your vote in the upcoming Harbor election. And you see names like Marcus Satchwell, Moira Langford, and Fenless Littlefoot all promising you something different. It's Donna Day, the 16th of Fryhosh, 1 month since you arrived in the city and moved in with your boyfriend, Ash Aspen. With a great lurch in your stomach as you're walking, you see the world moves around you and changes. You see a hand, a strange symbol inked into it, a half circle running along a horizontal line. Beyond those hands, you see the great hands of the New Harbor Grand Clock Tower deafening door bursting in an explosion that engulfs everything. And with a final great lurch, you are back on the streets of the Ivy Lanes. You realize you're late for work.
Oh, God, too much coffee this morning. Right. Okay, I'm gonna keep dashing to work, I guess.
Great. As you make it through the streets of the Ivy Lanes, you finally make it to a place called Cafe Pirelli, and you walk in the door. Cafe Pirelli looks like a place you might find in the Ash Lanes, actually. Run down with bare exposed walls, wooden furniture, worn down over time, and a staff consisting of beleaguered and disheveled employees. Altogether, the place has the charming aura of somewhere that is just getting by, but thriving nonetheless. That is, of course, until you look a little closer and notice that the brick wall is exposed on purpose and with tasteful spackling. The wooden furniture has not been worn down by decades of use, but by clever workmen's tricks. And naturally, the staff were not beleaguered because of destitution, but because of the latest trend diet, which had them running on mostly coffee and watercress. To the trained eye, this was merely the illusion of struggle. Or as the owner and your boss, Lorenzo Pirelli, so crassly exclaimed, "Poverty chic!" Lorenzo was a gnome whose biology you were sure consisted of two things, ignorance and hair grease.
Hey, Meredith, you're late for work. Come on, what are you doing?
Sorry, Lorenzo. Just having one of those, those mornings and, you have these weird caffeine dreams. And I think it's the watercress as well. It's kind of getting to me a little bit.
Yeah, a lot of people on the watercress these days. Not sure what the appeal is myself, but whatever. No, just get behind the bar. It's fine. Just get behind the bar. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Oh, hey, by the way, there's bookings for the open mic night. They're open. I know you wanted a spot.
Oh, yeah, oh, that would be great. I'd love that.
I'll put you down.
Keen. Thank you.
And he lets you know that open mic night will be tomorrow on Fam's Day, the 17th of Fryhosh. So you get behind the bar and you start serving customers. You get through one or two customers eager to get their morning coffee, and the next customer up is a high elf, a student, and actually, you recognize him.
Meredith, hello. It's me. It's Tavin from school.
Tavin, it's so good to see you.
Darling,
what are you doing around here?
I'm so glad to see you here. It's just great. You're working here now.
Yeah, so basically, I've come out this way. I was at school, things were fine, and then I was just thinking, you know what? Uh-huh. Screw it. I'm done with this.
Yeah.
I'm in love. I need to move.
Yeah.
I need to start fresh. Uh-huh. So I'm here. I've got my viola. Uh-huh. I'm gonna kickstart my career. It's all going really well. What are you doing around here?
Love it. No, I am actually. I saw you were working and I thought I'd come in, darling. You know, it's just, I don't know. I've really been in the market for open mic night, you know? I don't know if you know any of those going around, darling.
You know, actually, yeah, we've got one happening here tomorrow.
I'm
playing, so I'd love it if you could be there.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you, my best friend, Meredith, invited me. You know, I feel like we got on so well at school, you know? I feel like
We did. You, I miss the good old
you
days.
You were the rebellious youngster and I was somewhere else, I'm sure.
I mean, you taught me everything I know, let's be honest.
Sure. I didn't teach you everything I know, but I'm sure I taught you everything you know. Darling.
And he orders his coffee and very succinctly moves off, thanking you for the invitation. Next up is an orc. It is an orc dressed in the uniform of the Harbor Guard. This is Zongrof Gralshak here to get her morning coffee before she goes on to Justice Hall for her first early morning meeting.
Hi, welcome to Cafe Pirelli. What can I get you?
Hi, just coffee, just black coffee, please.
Because we've started serving this new thing here called the Winvir Whip. It's actually my specialty. Are you interested in trying one of those?
Not today. Just like a cup of black coffee.
No problem. I've got it. Cool. And I'll make her black coffee.
Amazing. So as your coffee is being made, Zongrof, you notice that there's a bird person that you recognize, a bird folk in the colors of a peacock. And you remember, oh, yes, this is Oksana Lucia.
Yeah, I give a kind of half half wave, half smile in her direction.
Grashak. It's Oksana Lucia for the Harbor Tribune.
Yep. Saw you. Good morning.
Yeah. If I might ask, I hear you're on a big case.
Right now, I'm just getting coffee. That's my case for the morning.
I don't know. I mean, I heard people are going missing, right? This is a big case for you, isn't it, for a junior officer?
Well, you know, we do what we can, but again, just here for the coffee.
I noticed that Detective Ironbone isn't handling this. Is he also missing, or is this just police negligence?
I'm not trying to be rude. If you want to do this, maybe we can do this, you know, at the station, somewhere a bit more formal. I really can't stress how much I just like the coffee right now. And if get that
Grawlshack, I've got a black coffee for a Grawlshack.
I snatch it and try and move out.
Officer Grawlshack, doesn't the public have a right to know if they're in danger?
You have a nice morning.
Is this related to the Rapscallions? I heard their kid went missing in the Ash Lane.
Zongroff, you make your way out of Cafe Pirelli, attempting to avoid eye contact with any of the politicians smiling down at you from the posters flashing with arcane lights, and nevertheless, you catch the eye of a friendly-looking dwarven woman claiming she will be a regent for all of the city, and next to her you see the tusky grin of the Sunset Lane's counselor for 3 terms running, your big sister, Vilskrat Grawlshak.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's a good photo. I'm not going to lie. It's a good photo.
With a sudden rush that you were not anticipating, the floor falls out from under you and you tumble through black. You feel yourself collide with something hard and wooden. Around you, you hear tick, tick, tick. And the huge machinations of gears and cogs all working together as one. Then you hear it again, different this time. Tick, 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 of a different machine now. The ticks and the talks transforming together into a symphony of automation until tick, 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 boom! You are slammed back to the streets. Your sister watching you. And you spill your coffee.
Damn it. Ugh. Right. God, that reporter getting in my head. I just kind of wipe the coffee off my uniform as best I can and just try and make my way to the meeting.
Great. So you walk through the streets of the Ivy Lanes, zigging and zagging in between the different churches and universities spaces until finally you get to Harbor Park and you walk up the stairs. You arrive at Justice Hall, a gargantuan fortress that calls itself the home of the new Harbor Guard. You mount the marble steps, pass by the columns that guard the entrance, and emerge into the atrium, a sprawling room jam-packed with people of all shapes and sizes moving in every conceivable direction. Before you can make it to the spiraling staircase towards your meeting, a young wood elf, Officer Pine Silver, approaches you.
Sergeant Grawlshak, I'm sorry to interrupt your coffee there. Constable Silver?
Yeah, of course. Hi, Silver. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. My dad yelled at me again, but that's probably too much information.
That's all right. You know, I've always said that, there's not enough sharing in the workplace anyway, yeah. So... Yeah, you feel free.
He just kind of says that I'm sort of an underfoot figure and it makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable, but, you know, I try, you know, standard stuff.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, I actually been looking for a more senior officer to sort of take me under their wing, you know, kind of like a parental figure of some kind, maybe.
Oh, that sounds really good. I hope you find them.
Yeah. I have an old... business. I actually have an old human lady in to see you. She's got some info on Detective Ironbone, apparently.
Look, send her in to me as soon as I can see her, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll get around to it.
As he goes to go speak with her, another man approaches you, a human this time, and you recognize this as Chief Venable, the chief of the Harbor Guard.
Oh, there you are, Sergeant. I was wondering where you'd got to. We got that meeting with Moira Langford now.
Yes, Chief. Just right there. Sorry, I was just talking to Silver. Yeah, no, on my way.
Yeah, don't worry about it. He'll handle it. Look, come with me.
I follow.
So, Langford's a bigwig. Like it or not, since your superior Ironbone's gone walkabout, you're on the missing persons case. And sometimes moving from being a beat cop to somebody on a bigger case means being in charge, and being in charge means explaining what you're up to bigwigs who don't really know what they're talking about.
Right. I mean, look, Ironbone was really good at the public relations stuff. I've not done this before. I don't really know what I'm doing.
Look, I get that, but you know, she's not having any more of me, all right? And you are the officer on the case. I'm gonna need you to put your best foot forward and take point in the meeting. Just try and pacify her so she doesn't start making a splash. We can't have information leaking to the public when we're trying to, you know, get the drop on the crims.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, of course. Yes, Chief.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that. I know this is all new to you, but I'm sure you can handle it.
Right.
As they continue their conversation, we are floating upstairs into the meeting room where they are headed. And we see, sat at the table round, is a human woman. Looks as like this Moira Langford, perhaps. And next to her is a wood elf. She is clad in the armor of a hero, it looks like. And next to her is a dwarf. A young dwarf, by the looks of things. With a fanciful mustache, this is Tor Brennan. Just Tor Brennan.
Tor Brennan, we want to affirm ourselves to the Watch as part of this investigation. And I want you to be the one to step up and join the Watch officer in charge.
Right, yes. That I can do. That I can do. Never really saw myself working with the guardsmen, though.
No. Well, this is the situation that Langford's hired us to do. But I think an up-and-coming young blood like you is perfect. And honestly, I believe in you. I think you'll do us proud. Earn your name and prove the honor of the Blades.
Thank you, Rose. I will not let you down.
I'm sure you won't.
The door opens and you see the lithe figure of one Theo Venable. He is dressed like a beat cop and wearing the expression of a man who would rather be having several of his most valuable teeth removed than here. You'd been told that this is the Chief of the Watch, the most senior officer there is in the city. And behind him strides an orc wearing the watch seal.
Yeah, morning everyone. This is Officer Grailshack.
Hello, thank you for coming, Candidate Langford. It's nice to meet you properly.
Yes.
May I introduce myself and my superior? This is Rose the Swift of the Blades of Valorous. I myself am Tor Brennan, simply Tor Brennan for now. It is a pleasure to be here and quite a pleasure to meet all of you. Mr. Venable, you must be.
Yeah, that's right.
And I do not believe I have had the pleasure. I gesture to Grum.
Not you specifically, but I know we've met a fair few of your kind.
Yeah, well, good.
Sergeant Grailshack, I'm taking over the missing persons case.
Ah, yes. Wonderful. I hear we will be working closely together.
Right. Because you're here.
A blade of Valorous.
Yes. Right. I look at the chief. Kind of.
A bunch of bloody vigilantes. But they've been hired for the case. That's just what we're dealing with today.
Is this Langford's doing?
Yeah. Seems like she doesn't really feel like we're pulling our weight on this one. Yeah, well, look, she's rich. She's got the money. She can hire private security.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's lovely to meet you, Corbredden, and Miss the Swift.
Yeah, you can call me Rose.
Ah, very nice, Rose. Zongroff, yes. Good. All getting along. Wonderful.
Right, well, I think it's probably time that we actually get down to business here. No less than 7 people have gone missing recently, including my own grandfather, who is a very prominent member of this city's elite.
Yes, thank you, candidate. I assure you that the Harbor Guard is doing everything in our power to find what's going on and to assist all the families of the people who've gone missing.
Well, I'd hope so, given that one of your own has gone missing as well, one of your captains. But I would have thought you'd had more leads by now.
Well, of course, you know, just because not all the information's been made public doesn't mean that there's not many, many leads that are being considered by the guard.
No. Perhaps we ought to make a fair bit more of it public. I feel like the public has the right to know, and maybe if we outsource this, we might get any information.
Well, I see we have certainly outsourced some of it. I look directly at Torbrennan.
Well, now, if I may, Madam Candidate,
yes, go ahead.
Whilst the people do deserve to know what is happening, it would not do to cause a panic amongst the citizenry until we fully understand the scope of what is happening here. I would say that the Guard, it would seem, has been doing everything within its power to take care of this issue. But perhaps, all respect, perhaps the Guard's power is not necessarily sufficient. Which is why you have hired us. And here we are. So I say, why are we wasting time around here? Let's go and get to the bottom of this thing.
I certainly feel that they have been rather insufficient in solving this case on their own, which is why I have taken the liberty of hiring you, Honorable Sir Dwarf, and the Blades of Valorous, to assist the Watch in their work. Out of my own personal funds, might I add.
Yes, well, of course, that is your prerogative to do that, candidate.
I'm sorry, I'm willing to keep this under wraps for the moment, just for your own sake. I respect your reasoning, but honestly, I have a duty of public opinion. My hands are tied.
Yes, well, and we have a duty of public safety, and sometimes things need to be kept quiet while things are being investigated, and Zongroff is just kind of tapping a pen nervously.
Well, I feel that getting this sorted is the best route for public safety, and I think if letting that out of the bag is the best way to do that, then that's the route we should take. But for the moment, I will permit you and the Blades here to work together to sort this out.
Now, if there is some sort of shadowy wrongdoer behind these disappearances, it would not do to immediately let them know that we are on the case. Perhaps a level of subtlety is what we need here, and believe you me, I know a thing or two about subtlety. I will stand gleaming.
A light that should not exist in this room twinkles off of your armor.
I audibly clank as I stand up.
I wipe coffee off of my armor.
Is there a skylight in this room?
Torbrennan, one moment you are stood looking rather dashing in this room, and the next you are flying through inky black. Your entire being is hurtled through nothing. Until finally you land, touching down on the cobbled streets you've come to associate with New Harbor. Everything is covered in a haze, obscuring the buildings and people around you. Through the haze, you can hear distant screams. You walk forward, and through the haze emerges a huge mass on the ground. As you get closer, you see the face of an enormous clock, the metal twisted and contorted. There are deep gashes in the ground where you think the clock face must have landed. You feel a tug behind your belly button, and the last thing you make out before you are yanked away are the hands, one towards 11 and the other towards 4. In an instant, you are dropped back into Justice Hall, stumbling and falling to the ground, looking less dashing than a moment previously.
Oh, man, you okay?
Till Brennan, are you fine?
Yes, something in my eye. Terribly sorry. I shall sort myself out, and then you and I, Sergeant, we shall get on the case. Rose, a moment. Yes. And
for 1 second, Zongraf, could you roll me wisdom, please? Perception check specifically.
Yes.
First roll of the game.
Oh, woo! Can I add my police style perception to this?
Please do.
Nice. Damn right.
Well, that's a natural 19 to start with, so that's a 25.
Wonderful. Zongraf, you recognize what just happened to Dor Brennan.
Right.
You feel that's familiar to what just happened to you in the streets.
Right. Well, good. It'll be nice to have some support. I try to smile at Tor Brennan as he's trying to get Rose's eye.
I'm just sort of trying to take Rose out of the room for a second.
Great. Rose, you are led out of the room by Tor Brennan as you speak out in the hallway for a moment.
Tor Brennan, what was it?
Okay, so never happened to me before. You know when, you know, people get visions of, like, the future?
Yes.
You know, in all the stories, there's always a vision of the future, some terrible portent, and then the hero has to go and solve it and fix. I just had one of those.
Don't come following.
I just had one. There was a clock, and it was a lot of smoke, and I think something was on fire, and there was an 11 and a 4. But I couldn't. I don't remember which of the hands were on the 11 or the 4. That's going to come into play. That's going to be, that time very important to everything that's about to happen.
Yes, that sounds like particular details that you should maybe be jotting down.
Okay, good. I mean, you know, genuinely, I honestly thought you might have been more skeptical.
It sounds like that maybe this is something to do with your future here and your part in this quest.
Well, I mean that, yes.
I would say maybe don't let it get in the way or let the watch notice that maybe you're, you know, falling over and seeing things.
Well, okay, sure. I mean, you know, I fell over a little bit. That's fine.
You went right over.
All right.
Flat on the floor.
Okay.
It was embarrassing, honestly.
No, you're right. You're right.
I mean, Torbrennan, I believe in you, and I know you can handle this, but I think some level of decorum would be important.
So not just rush at it head first, then?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, that's your biggest strength.
That is my biggest strength.
Yeah, you got the momentum, you know?
Not fast, but once I get going, hard to stop.
Yeah. It's an unstoppable force, movable object kind of situation.
Well, okay. This is a lot to process. I think I'm just gonna carry on with whatever. We'll sort out this missing persons thing. And you know what? I guarantee this whole clock thing and people disappearing and this whole missing persons thing, they're connected. They're always connected. They're always, always connected.
Always connected. You can always trust those dreams.
The door opens and Moira Langford steps out.
I hope you're both well. Look, I wish you luck, young Sir Dwarf. I know that hiring the blades for this was the smartest thing I could have done, and I hope between you and me that that the blades may add some import, some speed to this proceedings.
I think we can be trusted to add some speed to the proceedings, certainly.
Marvelous. Well, best of luck to you.
And Moira Langford steps away.
I believe in you, Tilbrennan, and I'm sure that whatever it is you're seeing, it's going to lead you in the right direction. I'm going to go and join Moira.
Yes. Perhaps mention it to Elias if you see him before I do. You know, he's the longest standing member of the Blades. I mean, he must have experienced something like this before.
I'll bear that in mind. I'll bear that in mind. You're representing us now, Tilbrennan, and I think you'll do a great job.
Thank you, Rose. Good luck.
And you too.
And I'll big warrior's clasp handshake her.
Are you saying you're going to predator handshake?
No, I'm not predator. One of these. With the okay. Forearms.
Great. Okay. Forearm handshake. Wonderful. Yes, you both shake each other hands very, very strongly, very warrior-like.
Dap each other up.
And Rose breaks away and heads back following Moira. And you see Chief Venable also exits the room with a nod to you, wishing you luck, mm-hmm. and walks away as well.
I will, if he nods at me, I'll give him an ostentatious bow that I'm certain will irritate him.
Jesus Christ. Roll, can you do me a favor?
Yes.
Roll me a dex check.
Yeah, I fall over
with the
again.
Background.
Sure. With traditional blade of valorous ostentatious greeting. Oh man, that's vast. That's like 24.
Describe to me how you bow.
In the time it sort of takes him to turn slowly and do a little, you know, an acknowledgement nod, I have thrown my right arm out to the side, placed my left hand sort of on in the middle of my chest, stepped back with my right leg bending, keeping the left leg straight, and I lower and bow and sort of sweep out my blue sort of cloak as I do so.
Great.
Miss Langford, people like this are just a danger walking around the corridors. Are you sure you want this on the quest?
Moira just scoffs and walks out. And he walks away in turn. Great, so Zongroff's the only one left in the room, and Tora Brennan, you're outside.
So, leads, what have you got? And I take out a little notebook.
Right. Look, buddy, I...
Suspects, leads, yeah. Someone's missing, you know, there'll be something.
Right, look, I know... Look, you've been hired here, you're here to do a job, I respect that. I just... The vigilante angle, it's not... Yeah, okay. You know what? I appreciate the help. I appreciate... I appreciate the help. I take out my notebook that I definitely got coffee on this morning, and it's all... The pages are sticking together, and it's just... It's not been a good morning, has it? All right. Tor Brennan, is it? Yeah?
Yes.
Look, we got seven missing people now. They've all just disappeared without a goddamn trace in the city. And one of them is Captain Ironbone, who was in charge of this case until he went missing. I was just supposed to be the junior on this. I was just here to help. This is, you know... It was great. I thought this was great. This was like a big case. It gets me off the streets, you know, gets me away from just having to tell kids to stop writing on walls and stuff. I thought, oh, this is exciting. This is going to be a big, big thing that I'm going to have my mentor, Captain Ironborn, to help me. And he had all the clues and all the evidence, and he was thinking it through. And then, anyway, he disappeared. I'm in charge now. It's been 4 days. And I'm in charge now.
Take a step towards Zongrov.
Sergeant, you seem... what's the word? A little stressed, perhaps.
I don't think I've been sleeping well.
Sleep is very important.
I think Zongrof kind of remembers for a second. I think she was lost for a moment in the stress of the case, and kind of remembers that moment, that flash earlier this morning, and what she just saw with Tor Brennan, and kind of, I don't know, stares at him trying to suss him out.
Shall we, as they say, shall we walk and talk? Shall we take to the streets and see what we can dig up? Get in a few scrapes? It's not my brand of fiction normally, but I have been enjoying some more police procedural novels lately, and I'm excited to get involved. So yes, let's get on the beat.
I think that moment of kind of curious camaraderie has now immediately waned at the suggestion that this guy's treating it like a fiction novel. Yeah. Cool. All right. New person on this case.
Lead the way, Sergeant.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
I'm going to cut away for a moment from Tor Brennan and Zongrof. We're going back to the Cafe Pirelli. The morning rush has ended. It is 11-ish, little after 11. People aren't really needing much more coffee anymore. You hear old Lorenzo yelling at you from the back.
Hey, May, what are you doing? It's dead here. Take a break.
Okay.
Spending all my money on nothing. Come on.
Don't mind if I do.
Out the door, you spot a flash of purple, and with a pang of dread, you remember the terror of your dream from last night. You feel relieved as your eyes adjust, and you see that it's merely a half-dark elf dressed in purple as she moves by. You see a flash for a second of her face twisted and contorted in a ghastly scream, and that same shape, a sphere bisected by a horizontal line.
Oh, actually, Lorenzo, you know what? I think I'm just gonna, like, take a seat, have a coffee for a moment. I'm not feeling so great.
Yeah, do whatever you want, but it's not a tab. You gotta pay.
Oh.
I'm not made of money here. Come on.
No, forget it.
Into the shop walks Isadora.
Hi. Could I get just a latte, please? If you've got any like nice spices or anything, that would be awesome.
Oh yeah, yeah, we got some lovely spices here. I'll get some spices for you. Yeah, what kind of spices you have? I got some. I got some nice cinnamon. That's a good one.
Oh yeah, yes, please. That would be great.
Yeah, cinnamon latte. I got it for you. Don't get up,
I think she needs a Whimverwip.
Don't get up, May.
What's a Whimverwip? That sounds awesome. What is it?
Oh my goodness. Okay, so it's the
not
best.
Not on the menu.
So, Lorenzo, just let me make one.
It's not on the menu.
And we'll see if she likes it.
Look.
I think we can let the customer decide.
Yes. I'd if it's like off menu, that's like special. That would be really cool.
Yeah, it's like an exclusive thing.
Oh my god, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. So
Meredith, roll me charisma check at advantage.
22.
Yeah, he's pretty convinced.
Yeah. If I get another one of those incidents, we're going to have a problem. It's coming out of your pay.
I don't know what you're referring to. And then I walk behind the bar, start making the coffee.
I did get you to sign that non-disclosure agreement. That's fair. We are pretending that didn't happen.
Sure.
Meredith, can you roll me a intelligence check to see how well you can make this Windvier whip?
Oh, I can make it in my sleep. Maybe not. I got a 10.
Woof, ba-boof.
So you're struggling to put together
or
the coffee.
Or a 12 with background. Can we say that?
12 with background. You're still struggling to put together this coffee. You should be able to make it pretty well. You don't know why
really
you're struggling.
It's been a really long, confusing morning.
You keep having these flashes of Isadora's face. You keep the flashes of this woman screaming. And you remember kind of the horrible vision you had this morning as you were walking into work. It's really throwing you off.
Hey, you don't have any like hand tattoos, do you?
No, I don't actually have any tattoos.
No. Oh my god, you just ever have those days where you just keep like, things are just weird, things are just a bit off?
Yeah, actually, I had this weird thing earlier when I was meeting up with my tutor, and like I had this weird flash dream vision thing where everything was exploding and it was all weird and I didn't like it, and yeah.
Oh my god, yeah, so like that big clock. That massive clock, it's freaking me out today. I just can't even look at it. I just start to feel a bit emotional about it, you know? And I keep thinking about like this hand tattoo with like a half circle and a horizontal line. And I'm just like, does that mean I need to get a hand tattoo? Because like, I've not had any tattoos before. And I don't know if I'm ready for that kind of commitment, you know? Like, I don't even know what it means. And it's like, maybe I should do some research into this symbol in case it's like offensive or something, because I don't want to go walking around with like something horrible on my hand. And then I'm just handing people coffee. And then there's just something offensive there. And no.
I mean, I don't really understand what you're talking about, but it sounds really tough.
Neither do
and,
I.
And I'm really sorry.
I am still here and this sounds insane. I'm right here.
Do you know what half circles with horizontal lines through them mean, Lorenzo?
Half circles with horizontal lines.
Yeah, is that like a thing?
Is that like a gang thing?
Is that like a cool thing?
I don't think that's a thing. I don't think anybody thinks that's a thing. I think you could tell that to a random customer trying to get comfortable
and you probably freak them out, you know? So
I think she likes it. People think I'm charming.
Because I've done a lot of research into weird arcane stuff. Would I be able to dredge through my memory, see if that makes any sense to me?
Yeah, roll me an intelligence check.
Oh no. That's an 11.
I'm afraid not. You don't really know of any symbol that represents anything that's a half line and a semicircle.
Yep.
You hear, all of you in the room, you hear the dong, dong of deafening door at the clock tower.
Ew.
In the distance.
That thing is so loud.
And for a brief moment, you all remember that dream you had and the vision you had. Meredith, can you roll me a perception check, please, with advantage and background?
Well, that was a natural one. So that's natural 20! Hey!
There we go. First crit of the game!
Nice.
Okay, natural 20. You feel as though the vision that you had was pointing you towards something. It wanted you to know something. And it didn't feel like any ordinary dream. You also know from what Isadora said, I believe you were talking about your vision, weren't you? You know that you two had the same type of vision, different images, but fundamentally felt the same from what she described.
Okay, so, like, I don't mean to freak you out, because, like, I know sometimes I can come off a little bit strong, but, like, I think we might be connected.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's really cool, and, like, don't worry about coming off strong. I'm, like, totally, totally up for this. I mean, how do you think we're connected? What do you think this all means?
I mean, so, I feel like... I've been having these visions, and then, like, I looked at you and I just kind of got the sense that you've been having these visions as well, and we've been having, like, the same visions, and I'm like, are we on a wavelength? Are we, like, in each other's dream space? Are we, like, dream sisters?
Oh my God. I mean, is there a way that we can find out? Like, I think if we both had, like, these really weird days where we've been seeing weird explosions and things, I think it's definitely possible.
I think so.
I have these, like, really cool professors at school. I could probably ask them. They know a lot about sort of weird, arcane, magical things.
I think
things.
That would be a good plan, to be honest. I think we should find out. Because, like, it's this really horrible feeling, you know? Like, I don't know about yours, but it just feels like something bad's going to happen. And I feel
it didn't
like
feel good
I should
all.
Probably kind of be doing something.
I mean, we could go and ask my professor Yorog for help, because they know a lot about, like, well, actually, maybe not them. They know a lot about plants. That's probably not useful right now. Anyway.
I mean, yeah, I think there's a time and a place for plants, and I don't think this is the time and the place. But, like, I'd love their tips on some good plants for interior decorating, to be honest. Like, I mean, I'm staying in a real grimy place right now, so I think I need some house plants.
If you ever need a shopping buddy, I mean, this gal right here,
I'll hit you
that
up.
That'd be so great. That'd be so good. Anyway, visions, weird. What should we do? What should we do?
I mean, I don't know. I kind of feel like maybe we ought to kind of go investigate this clock, but at the same time, the clock freaks me out and I don't want anything to do with it. So.
Yeah. I remember, like, something counting down to one and then exploding, and I don't want that to happen to us if we go there, but also we're probably not going to know what it is unless we go there, and I don't know.
Did you have any, like, specific times in your dream?
No. I don't think so.
No.
It was just, it just counted down, and it was a tall room. It was made of wood. That's all I remember, really.
Well, maybe if we go and we just, like, avoid the time, like, avoid going on the hour so we're not there when it chimes, we'll be safe.
Okay.
I reckon. I think that's a good plan. I think I made a really good plan.
That is a really good plan. That is a really good plan. Okay. Let's do it.
Cool.
That's amazing. Sweet. You know, and I think for when you get dreams, I think what's it's important to do is I've heard that you should always be generous. You know, give out the energy you take in. And I've heard soul dream sisters always tip. That's what I've heard. They always tip.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, always. It's like a sow the seeds, you get it back kind of thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
I got a tip jar for May, obviously, for May.
Yeah.
May's.
Yeah, and I did also hear that soul dream sisters do buy each other coffee from time to time.
I have also heard that. Wow. I have also heard that. The most expensive one on the menu, I've heard.
You guys know so much. I could learn so much from you. Okay, right. Let me get my purse, and I'll get my purse out and, like,
fantastic.
Tip extremely generously.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
It's 5 silver pieces for each coffee.
Alrighty.
Yeah, that's definitely 5 silver pieces worth of positive energy that's going to go back to you and your visions or your dreams or your miracle quests or whatever.
Oh my goodness, thank you.
Isadora, could you roll me an intelligence check, please, with advantage?
Certainly. I got a 21.
5 silver pieces is, you know, not out of the question for coffee, but it is certainly on the high end of how much one could charge for a cup of coffee.
Oh, it is. It's for the Wimford Wiltshire Weeping Whip, you know? It's the house special. It's the house special, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, this seems like a...
Does that mean I can put it on the chalkboard?
That means you may absolutely put it on the chalkboard. It's our
thank you
best.
So much. And then I'm just going to scroll.
No, wait.
I'm sure there's like some gorgeous calligraphy going on.
That's permanent marker.
I'm just going to. I'm just in a messy caffeinated scroll of Rin Winver Whip. 5 silver pieces.
God damn it.
That looks amazing. I'm so excited I could be here for this moment. This is like a new coffee being created. This is amazing.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to have to get a new chalkboard. Hey, 5 silvers, 5 silver. 5 silvers, 5 silver. Come on.
There you go. Here you go.
Right? Let's go see a clock.
Okay. Okay, I've got an idea that may or may not be a good idea, and I would love your opinion on it. So.
I love hearing ideas.
I have this thing I can do. It can sometimes freak people out a bit, and I'm not sure, like, if it's totally necessary, but I would personally feel safer if I did this. So I can create skeletons. And yeah,
what?
I can summon this skeletal minion. His name's Horace. He's lovely. Horace Boneman. He's my best friend. And he can help protect us if anything weird happens at the clock tower. What do you think?
So has Horace, like, always been a skeleton, or like was he once an alive man who then became a skeleton, and like has he always been like a skeleton that you summon, or at one point was he just a skeleton, just an inanimate skeleton? Like
well, I don't really know. I'm still learning a lot about my abilities and things, and it's all a bit confusing, but I'm studying a lot. And what I think is, I think that I have summoned a skeleton that already existed somewhere in the world, and I don't know who it belonged to, but I call him Horace because that's a nice name.
Horace is a great name. I think we should bring him along. I mean, like, I've heard that, like, skulls are, like, on trend at the moment anyway. Mm. So, like,
yeah,
it'd be cool to be seen with someone like that, I reckon.
Okay. Okay. Right. Maybe we'll wait until we get into the clock tower before we do it, just in case. Because I've made that mistake.
Otherwise,
a few
everyone
times.
Will want a skeleton friend, you know.
Oh,
and you
yeah.
can't just be summoning skeletons for everyone.
I know, it's extremely special and important, and only for like the most important occasions.
I completely agree. I feel honored that I get to see Horace.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Hey, May. If you're having fever visions, it's pretty quiet here. Maybe you ought to just take the rest of the day off.
Yeah, I was gonna. Thanks.
Yeah.
right. Have a good afternoon. Tell everyone about the Wimber Whip, okay?
I am not gonna do that.
And you walk out of Cafe Pirelli. And you make your way over to Deafening Door, the clock tower that resides in the same building as the Harbor Council. And we're going to cut over to Zongroff and Torbrennan. You both are also walking through the Ivy Lanes. You walk through Old Harbor. You're talking through the different aspects of the case, getting him up to speed. Torbrennan, you hear the chimes of a bell nearby. And you look around and you see the clock face from your dream. It is Deafening Door.
I freeze and stare up at the clock face. What is the time on the clock face in this moment?
The time on the clock face is 11:10.
And as I look at this clock face that I assume is very clearly the clock face from my my vision.
Yeah, you reckon.
Which in the vision do I recall which hands were pointing at which numbers? I have 11 and 4, but
you have 11 and 4. Roll me. Let me think about this. Roll me perception again.
Yeah.
At a disadvantage.
Fuck yeah! Love a disadvantage. That is a natural 20. And a 2.
Oh no. You can't. Your brain has mangled.
Disadvantage.
With my level, that's a 3. Sorry, Zach.
Oh. Well, 3. Why didn't you say so?
I just want you to be able to be giving the correct amount of information.
Disadvantage plus level.
I prepped different information for a 3 rather than a 2. So this is handy. your brain has really muddled. You can see both the long hand at 11 and the short hand at 11, likewise the same for the 4.
Okay, well, in my head, if 11:04 was the time that this thing was going to blow up, and it's 11:10 now, it would have already blown
no,
up.
No, the hand, think it, the hand was at 4.
Right.
Right? So 11, if it was 20. The minute's hand, it would be 20.
So oh, I see. Right, sorry. Yes, I'm remembering how clocks work.
Yeah,
please cut this.
Analog
out.
Clocks. Really, something we're going to need to educate our Gen Z listeners on.
Pip, you're doing it in character.
I am doing it in character. I'm an idiot.
I mean, do I notice him freeze and stare at the clock?
Absolutely. 10 seconds while he's just staring at a clock.
He freezes for like 10 straight minutes.
You're right there, new guy.
I spin around.
Oh!
And I reach up and I grab kind of as close to Zongroff's collar as I can.
Oh!
And I endeavor to pull her head sort of closer down.
Roll me an opposed deck. Do you want to let this happen, Zongroff?
I mean, I feel I'm taken by surprise, but I wouldn't necessarily allow this to occur.
Roll me an opposed dexterity check. Background and level, please.
Oh, man. I'm rolling a lot of twos.
I mean, I got an 18.
I mean, you definitely right. beat me. It doesn't.
So I have a dwarf just tugging at my collar.
I grab onto Zogrof's collar and just one arm pull up myself.
Oh.
I attempt to pull her down. It doesn't work. So I just pull myself up to Zogrof's face.
Absolutely.
Sergeant, I have very little time to explain this to you. I have reason to believe that something terrible is about to happen, and it involves that clock. We need to get up there, and we need to get up there now.
And I let go, thunk, back onto the ground, and I spin, and I just charge towards the building.
Wait, great.
I don't know how
awesome.
To get in. I don't know how you get to the clock tower. I run at the building like...
While you're running away, roll me a quick perception check.
I'm good at those.
With advantage!
Oh, and yeah. Why?
Because it's obvious and no one's trying to hide it.
That is a that's a natural 1 and a natural 20.
Hey!
You see a person leaving the clock door through the clock tower. The door is still open, and as the door is shutting, you shove your foot in and you can get into the clock tower.
Well, hey, where are you going? You get. Where are you going?
You see me disappear. I go into the clock tower.
I guess I chase after him because I guess he's my responsibility now.
Great. You vault into the clock tower after managed to pull off the same maneuver as him getting into the door.
If I can add one thing just on the end of that, just to upset, not just because I think this would upset and worry Zongrof even more. As I'm charging, as they get closer to the door, I think the thing that I catch the door with is not my foot, it's my sword. This massive two-handed sword, which I draw whilst running.
Inappropriate! This is inappropriate in the streets!
Fling it open with the sword and just like disappear in, and you hear like a battle cry as I go into
just reverberating.
So, Meredith, Isadora, do me a favor, roll me perception checks, both at advantage.
Oh, a 18. Oh, but with, sorry, perception is, I know you just said it, wisdom?
Wisdom, background level.
Lovely. 24.
16.
You both are walking towards the clock tower investigating things, and you see a dwarf draw a sword, screaming, running into the clock tower, and an orc in the harbor guard uniform run after him, yelling, "Hey! Hey, you can't do that!"
Do I recognize that it's the orc that I served a black coffee to this morning?
Yeah, and actually, Isadora, you recognize the orc as well. This is Zongrof Gralshak, member of the Harbor Guard. You have to check in with the Harbor Guard occasionally, and let's just say there have been a couple incidents on the streets, those moments where you learned not to just summon skeletons willy-nilly.
Oh, it's that Sergeant Gralshak? What? Why is she running after that man with the massive sword?
I don't know, and do you reckon they had, like, scary clock visions too?
Oh my god, what if they did?
They might have done. I think we should follow them.
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
Okay, great.
Cool, yeah, totally going in the big clock.
There are guided tours once a week! Come on, Dor Brennan!
How about you, you filthy timepiece?
And I'm the claw!
Isadora Meredith, you run into the tower, still able to get in through the unlocked door, seemingly, surprisingly.
Can I just sidebar? Can I just hilariously sidebar? And this is a little bit meta, but I think that's okay. We're recording this. Like, straight up, that person who walked out is the person who did it. Like, they've gone.
Yeah.
They walked out. That was them. And they've gone. If I'd been more switched on, I'd be like, well, hang on. Who's that guy coming out of it? But it's like, no. Ah, the tower.
Amazing.
Go.
So, Tor Brennan, you are running up the steps of the clock tower. You are getting to the clock tower room. Gralshak, Zongrof, you're desperately trying to catch up with this somehow speedy dwarf.
He's so short but determined.
And you hear ambling behind you are two young women just saying, but what if they had visions too? What if they had visions too? And climbing up after you. Tor Brennan, you reach the door first to the clock tower room, and Zongrof a moment later catch up to him. The door is closed.
Okay, I wouldn't break my stride. I would kick it as hard as I can.
Absolutely. Roll me strength, please.
This is a dramatic thing to do, so I feel I'm going to add my Blade of Valorous background to this for kicking a door in.
Please, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Man, that's a plus 8. That's a natural 20.
That's a
natural 20, but that would be 28 with bonuses.
Describe to me running up the stairs and knocking down the door.
I'm doing my best to kind of take the stairs sort of two at a time, which isn't easy being a dwarf, being this height and wearing full plate armor and carrying a two-handed sword. I'm charging up. I sort of come up and around the sort of corner of the stairs and spy this door. I don't break my stride. I kind of pull the sword in and lower my left shoulder sort of roughly at the, I'm kind of at perfect height for the lock, I feel, being dwarf sized, and like, yeah, my armored, the sort of pauldron on the shoulder is the thing that hits the hits the door first. And I assume with a natural 20, I just plow right the hell through
100%. It. That door is not built to withstand anything, let alone...
I just want to tell the time...
Sorry, can I just get a confirm from the DM that that isn't actually happening?
That's not really happening.
Oh, I don't exist. Cool.
So you burst that door open. That door splinters into 1,000,000,000 pieces. This is no longer a functional blocking. This is merely a portal now into another room. You see the grand bell chamber before you of the New Harbor Clock Tower and deafening door, the bell for which the tower is named, hangs ominously above your head. And you feel the shrill, piercing ring of something distinctly magical thrumming around you. But you see nothing. And behind you, Zongroff arrives. And a couple seconds later, so do Isadora and Meredith.
I mean, I will obviously immediately try and grab Tor Bredin, who has just had a full snap and destroyed public property, as far as I'm concerned. I just grab his shoulders. What?
Sergeant, please. There is method to this. Something up here is not right. Like, take a second for yourself and tell me you don't feel that.
Roll me a perception check, Zongroff. And actually, everyone else.
It's a 25 from me.
22.
9 from me.
Meredith and Zongroff, both of you wait for a moment, pause, and yeah, you feel this shrill, dark, magical energy ringing.
Can I hear any ticking?
You hear the ticking of the clock tower. And what was your perception?
22, I think.
22, it was.
Yeah.
22.
Let's... And you hear the tick, 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 tick of something else, something a little bit smaller.
Ah.
I understand that you are upset. This is a door and can be replaced. There is something else happening here, and I suggest we discover what it is. Hello, I say, seeing these two young women who've just arrived.
Hi, did you guys have, like, I mean, sorry, this is really forward and personal, but, like, did you have, like, weird clock visions and dreams?
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah. Right?
Sorry, what? The Isadora? What are you...
Oh, yeah, sorry, Sergeant, I just, came with this lovely lady here because
I'm Meredith.
Sorry, I'm Isadora. Sorry, we went straight to like the super like strong friendship dream sister thing.
My best friend.
Hang on a second. Hang on. Visions. You said something about. Sorry, you said something about visions and the clock.
Oh, Sergeant, it's clear you had them too, didn't you? Of course you did. Of course you did. Here we are, the four of us. It makes perfect sense, and I am very excited to dig into this, but if you all had the same vision as me, there's a good chance we're all about to die. So, let's find out from wherever it is that rather unpleasant magical sensation is coming from, shall we?
Yeah.
A little light, and perhaps you could put your prodigious investigative skills to the test. Officer Zongroff, how does that sound?
Yeah. Zongroff is just very shocked at everything that's just happened in the last 30 seconds, but no. Something bad. Something bad
I'll
is going to happen.
I'll pat Zongroff kind of on the back and just
police work first and freak out later.
I just nod. Nod and start investigating because that's what autopilot looks like. Yep.
Absolutely. Everyone roll me a perception check. Yep. Maddie, roll with an advantage, please.
Alrighty.
Can I game something here a little bit? What's the light level like in this room?
There's light from outside. It's pretty light.
It's well lit. Okay, not to worry.
Yeah.
I rolled an 11.
I got a dirty 20.
This D20 apparently only rolls twos, so we're going to put that one in the naughty D20 jail.
I rolled a 22 again.
You all start looking around the room. Tor Bredin, you look up at the bell and you kind of start to convince yourself that the bell is definitely where the sound is coming from. Probably you can hear like some like reverberations off the metal or something, but you're like definitely sure it's probably the bell. Meredith, you are just looking in corners like there's something hidden somewhere, but you don't find anything. Zongroff, you turn on that familiar police ear. You start like, you're not even like looking, you're like listening more, and like you're kind of echolocating this thing, and your foot actually finds it first. You stub your toe against something, and you can feel a magical zap push you back.
There's something here.
Isadora, would you like to touch it?
Yes.
Isadora, you push your hand against what seems to be nothing, and then suddenly, the spell dissipates, and you see the shape of a sharp and brutal machine come into focus. Without a moment's hesitation, the machine jumps to life, seemingly aware of its detection. Metal slides against metal as two figures unfurl from the machinery and prepare to strike. Roll initiative. What is this mysterious machine? How does it relate to these ethereal visions? And can our heroes defeat these automatons? All this and more in the next episode of Realms of Peril and Glory. See you next time.
Yeah.
Theme tune.
That's the theme tune, right?
So, Maddie, can you let everyone know where they can find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Maddie_abstract. And on my Twitter, there are various links to other stuff that I do, including my old fantasy comedy podcast, The Prickwill of Papers, and stuff that I do for Rusty Quill, like Stella Furman and Inexplicable. So check it out.
Check it out. Laura, what about you?
Right. So you can find me on Twitter and Instagram with the handle By Laura Girling. And my Etsy store is bylauragirling.etsy.com. I'm selling pins, prints, gifts, greetings cards, and handmade little bits and pieces. If you use the code VAIL at checkout, you can get a 10% discount as well. Woohoo!
James, where can people find you?
I can be found on Twitter at Barbarasaphone, and also check out the Christmas special of You Awaken in a Strange Place, which will be on the RPG feed around Christmas time, 2021.
Pip, is there anywhere people can find you? I don't think there is, but...
Yes, in fact there is. I can be found beyond the Veil of Secrets in the Castle of the Night. The old troll knows the way, but you must answer his riddles three. No, not really. Check out Wooden Overcoats. I'm in that. Some other stuff, the names of which I've forgotten. And, you listen to some podcasts, and then, like, yeah, one time out of 50, someone at the end of it will say, featuring the voice of Pip Gladwin, you go, oh, I know that guy, he's that dwarf in that show. So, yeah.
Great. And Liz, where can people find you?
You can find me on socials at Liz X Campbell. That's Liz, the letter X, and then my surname. When I do stuff, I will post it on my Twitter.
Great.
So follow that.
Follow that. You can find myself personally at ZachFG on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow Realms of Peril and Glory across all social media platforms at RealmsPod. You can go to our Patreon, patreon.com/lightandtragic, to get bonus shows, ad-free listening, our Patreon exclusive show game thing, The Witch is Dead, that Liz is also in. That's coming out this October. And then you can check out James and I's other show, The Orphans. And you can also get our merch at the link in the description. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone!
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance.
As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you, and let's make season two even more memorable together.